Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. It is Dom time. Good Thursday. A lot of stuff on the show today, including a brilliant observation, but I ran with it. And it occurred to me, it's right, that Joe Biden is really Izzy Mandelbaum. So throughout the show, we'll come back from each break, or as many as we have, with, you remember the Seinfeld cat? That's Joe Biden. That's where he is. I don't even know if Izzy Mandelbaum, though, would have done what Joe did yesterday. It is, here's cut 11. Here's Joe yesterday at the end, after he has the crowd roused in South Carolina, telling them what to do to keep this campaign going.
So we can chip in and support those who listen to this, chip in and support our campaign. Text Joe 30330.
All right.
I got to get this right.
It's right on the lectern in front of him. My goodness. And this guy was their big hope to take out President Trump.
I think the visual of it is so incredible just because, as you said, right in front of him on the front of the podium was text NH to 03, whatever the number is. And then he bungles it. Meanwhile, it's just there right in front of him on the camera.
Amazing stuff. The other thing we have today is Nanny Doomberg, the 48 hours. Now, we had yesterday. I'm proud of this type of thing. And a lot of you are catching on to this. We had yesterday the national spokesperson. I don't see it on here, Dan. Maybe I'm mistaken something. Okay. We had on the national spokesperson. We'll play that for you in a moment. For the Bloomberg campaign, and a lot of you get it. We're willing to bring them on. We're willing to hear them out because stuff happens. As a result of that, we're being followed on Twitter now by one of the chief Hillary Clinton architects of her last campaign. That's kind of interesting. I don't know. I think it came from that interview. So we had this woman on. Her name is Singh. Politico's got a big story today. What was it like inside the Bloomberg campaign when they knew about this 2015 Aspen Institute interview in which he said to just take minority kids and put them up against the wall and start searching them and frisking them and doing all those things, that's the way to deal with stuff. What was it like inside? Well, what it was like, Politico says, is they brought in all these ministers, some of them in New York, some of them in other places, and they sent them out there to fire away to say, we stand with Mike. Mike will get it done. No big deal. He's apologized for this. In other words, putting their seal of approval on his African-Americans leaders that this is okay. So we have it on the spokesperson yesterday. Now imagine this big, this is a long Politico story. They knew this was coming. You see what he's doing. He's thinking, do I have enough money to buy off everybody in America? To shut everybody up? If you or I had something like this, or any conservative had said what Bloomberg said, and I agree with stop and frisk, it's not that I'm against stop and frisk. It's his attitude, how casual it was in that tape, as muddy as that tape is. So I asked his spokesperson about this yesterday, Ms. Singh. Here's how it sounded. Why is the Bloomberg campaign then, what's the position with this 2015 tape, Sabrina, that came down yesterday, where Michael Bloomberg has not addressed that? I know he's said stuff before, but this was something new that we actually hadn't heard from him, and his position on stop and frisk, some would say to the extreme.
Well, actually, I mean, I have to correct you on that because this has been out there before. What Mike has said, you know, since last year is that he fully apologizes for the stop and frisk policies and the impact that they had on Black and Latino communities in New York. And I think the mark of a true leader is admitting your mistakes and apologizing for them. And not only that, learning from them. So that is why, you know, when Mike first announced, we announced the Greenwood Initiative that we talked about earlier. He believes that every American should have the opportunity to succeed. And he is someone that has been an ally within the Black community. But, you know, he has apologized for those remarks. He believes that I think that the lessons he has learned from what Stop and Frisk did is something that he will take with him to the White House and you know, reform. This president certainly does not apologize for the things that he says, for the mistake that he's made. And I think that, you know, it is refreshing to see a leader who is willing to do that and take responsibility for one's actions.
But what does that mean? All right, I go on to say, well, what does that mean, though? What does it mean, take responsibility? What happened? What's the punishment? What happened here for it? There was no answer to that. So Politico today says what Bloomberg did was convene all these people. They were ready when this broke, because this is much more than just knowing he was in favor of stop and frisk. This is how casual he was about it. I wouldn't say stuff like that. He said this publicly, 2015. They have a list of all these African-American leaders and all these people that came in, and then they fan out around the country to say, no problem with this guy. Now, Politico reported that. Good for them, but it's not out there in the rest of the media. Here's the point. When evangelicals support President Trump, they get buried. If you're one, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And the media can't get it how this bounces off, meaning you get told, how can you support a guy? Womanizer, three divorces, messed up the Bible verse, all those things. Right? Bloomberg, though, how can African Americans support him? How can they go down this road with him, a guy who's been involved in this and has been so cavalier about it? Media is not wanting to ask that. Politico did a good job of reporting what he does and what he's going to continue to do. And this is going to be interesting. Can he buy off everything? Because it's going to be a lot more, and Democrats are the ones that are going to provide this when we get to the first debate, without a doubt. All right, so 855-839-1210, AT&T and Verizon Wireless. You just push pound 1210 and we'll get you on board. Now, Roger Stone, a lot of developments on this. Here, it's the jury forewoman and at least a couple of other jurors. The lead Stone juror, the jury forewoman, the woman who was in charge of the jury, ran for Congress as a Democrat in 2012, has repeatedly been attacking President Trump. And a lot of her material now, people are taking a more of a look at this, has come to light. She posted a lot of things on Facebook. She's now supporting the four prosecutors who withdrew from the Stone case. Three of those four prosecutors we know are Democrats and connected to the Mueller probe. This then sets us up to how we got to the 7 to 9 year proposed sentence. It's hard to say what this judge is going to do. I don't think President Trump should pardon Roger Stone at this point. But if he is going to pardon, then he should do it now rather than down the road, because there's going to be a firestorm. Democrats already making noises about the idea of impeachment over interference. Even Judge Napolitano today said that, the president has a right to make his comment known about what he thinks of this proposed sentence. In other words, these people went outside the lines to come up with this 7 to 9 years for Roger Stone. And it's clear and clear and clear that when you put this, even if you are wanting to get it Stone, this is a crime that deserves a year, something like that, maybe not even that. Here's what Jeffrey Toobin now, think about this. Here's Toobin on CNN Here's what he said about the 7 to 9 years proposed for Roger Stone.
You know, I'm familiar with the sentencing guidelines and how the particularly these kind of cases work. The case, the recommendation struck me as very high as well.
But
7 to 9 years.
Right?
They are part of the guidelines. The probation department, which sets the original guidelines and the Justice Department responds to them, apparently agreed with the Justice Department on this. But I can see why people thought this was an excessive sentence. But the way to do that is in front of the judge, not the president of the United States reaching in from the outside, telling Justice Department to change their policy.
Well, he didn't do that. But the president is allowed to have commentary on this. And there are any number of presidents that have had commentary on pending cases. Obama was someone that did this almost routinely. So, A, let's follow this. Connect the dots. The president has a right to do this. There's nothing wrong with the president making public comment by Twitter or orally. Two, you have these compromised jurors, and somehow or another, the prosecutor and the judge didn't want to do enough checking to ferret them out. Apparently, this woman ran for Congress as a Democrat in 2012. Talked about some of her posts. Three, these people proposed this, kind of jumped the line here inside the Justice Department, outside of the chain of the command, on something this big with the Attorney General. Even people like Tubin and others. Here's Trey Gowdy going after the major violator here, Elizabeth Warren, who wants essentially, she wants this guy to die in jail. It's not enough, even 7 to 9 years. Listen to what Trey Gowdy said on Fox News yesterday.
What's your take on this story?
That the prosecutors wanted 9 years. Bill Barr thinks that 2 or 3 years is more proportional. And the only difference between the two is whether or not you count this 8-level enhancement for actively threatening a witness. If you didn't have that enhancement, then everyone would agree that Bill Barr's view of the guidelines is accurate. So the judge is going to decide whether or not that enhancement is appropriate, supported by the facts. Mm-hmm. Martha, this was a trial. She presided over the trial. She listened to the witnesses. She's uniquely well positioned to decide whether or not that enhancement should be in play. But the notion, I mean, prosecutors don't sentence people. Presidents don't sentence people. Fox News commentators don't sentence people. Judges do. And we give them life tenure so they can make these calls. But the notion that Bill Barr should resign is about the dumbest damn thing I have ever heard. If a United States senator really believes that the head of the Department of Justice cannot weigh in on what a proportional sentence is, I mean, there are child pornographers who don't get 9 years, Martha. There are people who rob banks and don't get 9 years. So let the judge decide. I think 2 or 3 years is about right.
All right, then. Now, we'll play you Tucker Carlson coming up, 855-839-1210. We had a lot of people yesterday trying to make this, and it comes down to, you know what he's talking about, that 8-step moving up. Let me translate. He's saying the alleged threat, or the threat that Roger Stone made on this other witness. All right? It's Godfather 2. You know, was that an idle threat? Was there anything behind that? Do people really believe he's like a mob figure? He's going to whack the guy? No. That's what they're hanging on to jump it up. Tucker Carlson thinks he ought to be pardoned right now. I know that'd be a popular opinion. I don't know if at this point, but it would have to be now before we really get into the election cycle, if that's where Trump wants to go. Phone lines are 855-839-1210. But it's clear, again, you take a look at the jury. You take a look at the judge. You take a look at these prosecutors. And Trey Gowdy's right. Of course the attorney general has a right to weigh in on this. Of course the president has a right to weigh in on this. That's not obstruction. That's part of their role. They can't be the only people in America who can't weigh in on this. But this is bubbling up big time again. And again, Democrats think, oh, we got Trump on this. We'll see.
Hey, Izzy, this kid says he can lift more than you can.
You're pretty funny, Morty. You should be a comedian.
Actually, I am a comedian.
That's not so funny.
I think you're better than me, huh?
Hey, Izzy used to work out with Charles Atlas in the 50s.
1850s?
Yeah, That's it. It's go time. Let's see you lift that.
Mr. Manavala,
come on, really... come on. Pump it.
All right.
Wrong attitude. You're not bringing that trash into my house.
Welcome in. All right. Joe Biden certainly could be Izzy Mandelbaum. That's what it reminds me of. How many things does he challenge people to? How many crazy... Would Izzy Mandelbaum get the text number right? Thanks to the listener who pointed that out. That's Izzy Mandelbaum as long as he's still in the campaign. All right, maybe through South Carolina, maybe not. 855-839-1210, you get a line. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just push #1210. All right. Should President Trump calculate this? Reach out now. Well, now would be, I guess, Tuesday is when Roger Stone is sentenced. Now, President Trump did not pardon Manafort, even though Manafort's, quote, crimes were unrelated, some of them, to anything connected with the Trump campaign. You could argue Roger Stone, someone who's worked with President Trump over the years, and what he's charged with is a direct result of the politics of this. And putting it in context, you look at Comey, you look at the guy that really bothers me, McCabe, you look at Hillary, you look at a laundry list of these people who have not even been charged, any of them, at this point in time. Now, Durham's out there, we'll see, with any crimes around going after the Trump campaign and the follow-up. And here's Roger Stone. Yeah, he's a guy who is maybe annoying. You know, some of the stuff he said on my show once about going after delegates at the convention at all caused quite a stir. He said stuff like that. But the actuality of what he really has done, he's got a clean criminal record and all the rest. And immediately we're seeing 7 to 9 years. Tucker Carlson says it's time to go to the mat for Roger Stone.
The usual moralizers seem gleeful at the thought that Stone will die in a cell. CNN has been especially ghoulish on the subject. You'll remember that prosecutors tipped off Jeff Zucker's network last year so they could have cameras in place when dozens of federal agents armed with automatic weapons dragged Roger Stone from his home at dawn. Talk about state TV. For the last 2 days, the hyenas on CNN have been driven to hysteria by the thought that the Justice Department might reduce Roger Stone's sentence even by a day.
It is clearly, utterly offensive to the rule of law. This is what sets this country apart. This is what a banana republic does. This is what a dictator does. It is outrageous. I hope people are infuriated by this.
The reason they're doing it is slimy, sleazy, dirty.
Roger Stone is somebody I hold in minimum high esteem. So I was not unhappy to see him get 7 to 9, but I did.
You didn't think that was too aggressive?
Brooke, I thought it was aggressive.
Wait a second. Was that really John Dean telling you how happy he is that Roger Stone will die in jail? So CNN's moral arbiter on questions of law and order is literally a convicted felon? It's enough to make your head spin. But at least it's now clear what's actually going on. This is a pure political hit. Roger Stone is facing prison because he is a high-profile Donald Trump supporter. It's that simple. You want proof? Here it is. John Brennan and James Clapper will sleep at home tonight. Both have been caught lying under oath on camera about matters of national importance. And yet neither's in jail. Neither's been indicted. Neither ever will be.
All right. So that's part one. We'll get to more later on from Tucker Carlson. But calculate that. Okay. What kind of political damage, if it any, is there by giving them an issue to go after this with Roger Stone? Or is the better course of action, he gets reelected, then Stone is pardoned 30 seconds after that? How long can Stone, it's unclear to me, remain out of jail? I don't know if he gets remanded to whatever she sentences him to on Tuesday. So that would be roughly 8.5 months that he'd be in jail. And that's part of the calculus. That's part of what you have to look at. But if he's going to do it, shortly after that would be the time. There'll be a firestorm of sorts. I don't know how much political damage ultimately would be there. Here are five times President Obama and his administration intervened in one way or another, protecting allies. The new Black Panther Party, remember that? Remember Eric Holder? They clearly were intimidated. I've interviewed them. King Samir on a street corner. They clearly were intimidating people over in Fairmount. And Eric Holder, even though they didn't defend themselves and there was a summary justice injunction against them, he allowed them to go. Eric Holder. Fast and Furious. Robert Menendez was helped by the Obama administration with all of his troubles. And of course, Hillary Clinton. How many ways can we count that in the manner in which they intervened? And there's dozens more. So does this calculate then to this is something Trump can do now that will pass? Probably will with Roger Stone. If I had to guess, this judge strikes me that she's going to not go 7-9, but I don't think she's going to go 2-3. I think she's going to say, oh, yeah, I'm sentencing him to something more aggressive than 2 years. Something on the high side of that. That's what you're going to see play out. So this is the big story now. How does this play out? How do Democrats use this? More information. I don't know why the information didn't come out about some of these jurors early on, but it is out there now. One ran for Congress. The forewoman of the jury is the main one out there with all kinds of posts, all kinds of information that obviously was prejudicial. You know, you're asked all kinds of questions when you serve on a jury. They want people that don't have any background. I'm never going to serve. I mean, I've been knocked off more times. We've talked about it. One time I was knocked off by the prosecution, the judge, and the defense attorney, Dan. All three said, no, we don't want him on the jury. Okay, so particularly the judge. I was proud of that, the back and forth with the judge, why I answered a particular question in the way that I did. So, with this kind of bias, with this kind of background, is it ripe to pardon Roger Stone? There would be political consequence. Who knows what the calculation is, how much it is. All right, now our side question of the day. We have a pair of tickets to Down in Derby today. Is that it, Dan? I'm not sure. A calendar. You guys vote. We'll tell people what you like. Calendar? I can't hear you there. Okay. All right. So we have a good prize to give away. I know that today. We saw yesterday that Sean Spicer, of all people, who's a great guy. We had him on recently. He's out there saying for $199, I think it's on Instagram, Sean Spicer will give you a Valentine's message to your sweetheart. I assume, well, I don't know. It could be a male or female. I don't know how much business he's getting. So there's a whole business of celebrities that are doing stuff like there's even a celebrity breakup guy or some that you hire them and they do a classy breakup. This must be a millennial thing. In other words, they send a link and say it's over, and they tell you why. A celebrity. Does that kind of soften the blow? We'll play you one of those coming up. Who is it that you like? Who is it that would be your favorite? Who do you think would be good delivering a Valentine's Day message? I don't know. We'll ask Joe if he's gotten any business on that, singing Valentine's. But Sean Spicer, it's $199. 855-839-1210. You get on board. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. All that you have to do is just push #1210. So we got that coming up when you call in. Should President Trump, that's the big story out there today. He's got a few days to consider this. I would guess that Roger Stone would be remanded when he is sentenced on Tuesday, meaning he's ready. He goes off to a federal jail. And I'm guessing he'll get 3 to 4 years. Over what? Over something that's political. Let's face it. At the end of the day, it's political. That's what this is. And in Washington, it doesn't seem to go the other way. Did Stone do anything with the enormity of Hillary Clinton, McCabe, Comey, any number of these others? No, he did not. That's not whataboutism. That's context on this. I can't see the judge saying a year, something like that. I don't think that'll happen. Should Trump pardon? I'm looking for people that are Trump supporters but say no. Who knows what the consequence is of it? it'll blow up into a firestorm if he pardons him pretty quickly.
Mr. Mandelbaum, I just wanted to come by and tell you how sorry I was that you hurt yourself.
What the hell is that?
What?
That shirt. You think that you are the number one dad?
This was a gift from my son.
Oh, I see how it works now. He knocks me out of commission, so you can strut around in your fancy number one shirt.
All right, that could be Joe Biden. That could be Joe Biden after this presidential race. Welcome in. Yeah, he is Izzy Mandelbaum. That's one of the best that we've seen so far. Dom Giordano Show, welcome in. All right, hit us with your, who is it that you think would be pretty interesting, at least? Sean Spicer, would that be $199? You got celebrities that deliver a Valentine's Day message. Now, we've already talked about the Valentine's Day delivery of flowers, which I'm doing, Dan. I got that on my to-do list today to set that up. Got a pair of tickets to see A Woman of No Importance at the Walnut Street Theater through March 1st. For tickets and details, visit walnutstreettheater.org. You'll have a great night out. Walnut Street Theater's a cool place. Just hit us with, what celebrity do you think would be good to deliver a Valentine's Day message? Maybe it'd be funny. All right, listeners beat me to it. I couldn't even get this up on Twitter yesterday. Before, I was hit by, did you see this? Our friend over in Montgomery County, the sponsor of Let's Turn Montgomery County into Mexico with her illegal immigration co-sponsorship bill.
Decency.
The Dean of Decency and a couple of other Democrats hit with ethics complaints over suspicious conduct. Now, I haven't seen this in the Inquirer or anywhere else yet, but it's out there at Fox News. Three Democrats, including the Dean of Decency, the complaints from the House Judiciary Committee says that the one woman is Jaya Powell. She's from Washington. And Madeline Dean, investigation of possible violation of House rules and federal law. They've engaged in disturbing activities, says the allegation, that appear to be violations of federal law and House rules. We're calling on the Federal Election Commission, the Office of Congressional Ethics, to immediately investigate these suspicious activities. She did not comment. That apparently they're talking about the dean, the allegation is, taking money when she ran for lieutenant governor. I don't know why I didn't follow that campaign. She suspended her campaign for lieutenant governor, but she used the campaign funds from that race to go toward the congressional campaign she launched soon afterward. The complaints allege that this violated federal law and, by extension, House rules. Campaigns for federal office must only use funds that were subject to the Federal Election Commission. The complaints state that these expenditures continued after Dean was elected, totaled more than $17,000.
Decency.
Well, it seemed to me I'm indecent to bring something like this up, Madeline Dean. So I wonder if the Inquirer and others, I wonder if we'll see this here locally. They could say, come on, Dom, this is just a technical breach. She took money from one thing she shouldn't. She knew she shouldn't. Allegations of this. Well, really, these are all things that she's apparently somebody who wants to hold people to the rule of law. We hear this all the time, right? So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But I mean, that's chump change with all their bicycle money from communist China. Thanks to listeners, though. Thanks to how many people use the Dean of Decency. As you know, that's the word. I don't know about you, but if I had to choose one, you may have another. That's the thing that sets me off. Those claims of decency. Decency. All right, let's go to Frank in Toms River. Hey, Frank, welcome in. You're on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Dom. Listen, fantastic show. You and Rich knock it out of the park every day. Wish I drove for a living so I could listen to you all day long.
That's a very nice thing. We'll have to get drive for a living. You can listen to Talk Radio 1210. That's good stuff.
Yeah, I guess since you and Rich are experts, and I missed calling Rich today, but isn't the Roger Stone issue, isn't that fruit of the poisonous tree with all this FISA, stuff, all the criminal behavior behind the scene, but yet they're still going through with this? Isn't that how they got all this information?
Right. I know in broad terms, that's a great phrase you're using, too. In other words, this was all fraudulent FISA documents and all the rest of it. But there are, it's the same thing with Flynn, if you remember his circumstance. The argument didn't 100%. Hold up, but I think that's a sound argument that what happened here is if you don't have a case, if it's all a sham, how then can you be convicted of obstruction and these other crimes? I think his attorney tried that defense. Somehow or another, it didn't work. I'm sure he'll appeal on that basis. But that is a very good, and that's a major thing they teach you in law school that I remember. So, absolutely, should Trump pardon him though now?
I think that maybe Flynn's attorney that I can't remember her name, but
Sidney Powell.
She's spectacular.
Sidney Powell.
Maybe,
yeah.
Yes, maybe he should be knocking on her door.
Well, it's a difficult call. I know the easy thing in talk radio is to say just pardon. There, nothing will happen politically around this with Trump. I can't say that. That's why Trump's being a little bit cagey with this. I think he might let it go for a couple months and then revisit it. I think he will pardon him, particularly if he's reelected. He'll definitely do it. Who would you like to have do a Valentine?
I think he has to let the wheels of justice keep spinning. He has to run the country.
Yeah.
Valentine, I got to go. I really don't like Hollywood is just a toxic, and I couldn't give any of them a dollar except for, and again, I think this is going to be a weird Valentine. I would say Clint Eastwood because he's just spectacular. Thank you, Don.
Thank you. That's a good start. Picture Clint Eastwood. Well, he's going to do it toward a female, right? I can't see Clint Eastwood for the female doing it toward the male.
Could you imagine?
Can you imagine? All right. So,
I do have that Mark McGrath sound of him breaking
yes,
up with somebody.
Let's set this up. Now, this is a guy I only vaguely know. So give us a brief branding. So who is Mark McGrath?
So Mark McGrath started as the front man of the band Sugar Ray.
Okay.
Back in the early 2000s and has since become somewhat of a Ryan Seacrest type on red carpets, doing a lot of interviews,
okay.
That kind of thing.
That's where I've seen him.
Yeah.
Let's only play, I don't know if it's a whole 126 of this, maybe to get the idea, 45
yeah.
seconds to a minute.
Cut me off whenever.
Yeah, here is Mark McGrath, paid. He is a celebrity breakup guy. Now, we haven't talked about, this is a millennial thing, you know, breaking up by text and all. Well, you can't do that. You got to face the person. You got to say at least, it's not you, it's me and all that stuff. So this guy's hired. You give him the background. He then comes on, it's a videotape, and says why this breakup has to occur, and I guess mainly with women.
Yeah, it's a service called Cameo that celebrities, you know, they'll offer their, you know, you can get a 2-minute, 3-minute video for a certain set price, depending on how famous the person is.
What do you think this guy gets?
I can look it up.
Yeah.
It's called Cameo is the name of the service.
I would say he gets $500 to do this. You think more?
No. I'm talking
more.
Like $220 maybe.
Oh, $20.
Yeah, we're talking like.
Wait a minute,
amounts.
I could do that. What are we waiting for here? Set up the camera. I'll do a breakup. Let's say we'll get Joe singing in the background. We'll give him a bonus. All right, here is McGrath breaking up.
What's up, Braden? It is Mark McGrath from the band Sugar Ray, off the charts, but always in your hearts. And this cameo was booked by Cheyenne, and she wants you to know a few things. And this is a little difficult for me to say because it's the first one of these I've done, but she wants you to know that you mean a lot to her. You mean the world to her.
Uh-oh.
But she's having difficulty staying in this long distance relationship. You know, it's tough. I've been on the road for years, and I've been with my wife a long time, and the biggest arguments, the biggest, you know, obstacles in our relationships is the distance between us. It makes it very difficult when we're on the road, and it's hard. So Cheyenne is trying to let you know, Braden, that it's very, very tough for her to stay in this relationship. She still cares about you a lot. You never know what the future may hold, and she still wants to be friends with you because obviously she cares about you very,
all right,
very
we got
much.
The point. He did a nice job there of making it personal. He's not reading from a card, and he woven into his experience of being on the road.
And you were much closer. He's $125.
Yeah.
So somebody paid $125 to break up with their girlfriend.
All right. See, I wouldn't do that, but I have done voicemails for people. I've done a radio pitch, for a candidate in South Jersey, a phone thing. Yeah, I've done that. I mean, I think we could have Joe sing for them, but I would do your voicemail. Hi, this is Dom Giordano.
Good friend of so-and-so.
Big issues, big guest. Dom time, Minutemen. That's right.
So I just stumbled upon something. We might want to do it for the show. For $80, we can get Larry Thomas to say anything. You know who Larry Thomas is?
Of course. I have Larry Thomas in studio.
Did you?
The Soup Nazi.
Yeah.
We have him in here somewhere.
On the bottom there, in blue.
These colorations are not good, but here.
No soup for you.
There you go.
I had him in studio. He's a great guy. We almost got him the seven fishes. So he'll say anything for $80. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Maybe Mike Bloomberg will hire him. 855-839-1210. Bloomberg is spending $1 million a day on Facebook ads and paying these Instagram. Now, Dan, I'm not on Instagram. I was thinking of getting on Instagram. Yesterday when we did the ribbon cutting, they wanted to know if we could put it up on Instagram. Do you see that much advantage with our listeners? I mean, Twitter occupies like 2 hours a day for me now. We're really doing well on Twitter and Facebook a little bit more. Instagram?
For younger than me generation.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, right.
Yeah. So like 25 and under.
Right.
You can get a lot from that.
Bloomberg was asked by his people, this came out today, all right, which one of these people who are popular as influencers on Instagram do you want? He said, take them all. So he's got influencers on Instagram that are worth, that have 60 million followers to say that Mike Bloomberg is cool. I'm not making it up. Can you imagine? You're getting paid and you're sitting around. How can we make Mike Bloomberg cool?
Hi, Katie. Caitlyn Jenner here. Actually, I'm getting ready to go to the Grammy pre-party tonight right now. But anyway, your dad reached out to me, said the most wonderful thing. He said, you're smart, determined, and absolutely beautiful. And it's your birthday. 23rd birthday. So I just want to say happy birthday. No, I don't want to do that. But anyway, happy birthday, Katie.
All right. How much do you think that costs you? Was that a great dad? Caitlyn Jenner being the celebrity of du jour, talking about you can get Valentine's Day just about anybody if you're willing to pay celebrities to wish that special someone happy Valentine's Day. Dan, you said on the site you're on, that's the highest for $2,500.
The highest person. So I guess they set their own prices on this. I don't know how this site works. But $2,500 to get Caitlyn Jenner to record a one-minute message.
Well, you know, if Sean Spicer's getting $200, I guess I see the celebrity quotient of that. But the guy chooses Caitlyn Jenner.
Like, I like Caitlyn Jenner. I respect her.
Yeah.
But I'm not, like, who has $2,500 sitting around to spend for 1 minute for her to send a birthday message?
Right. Who's getting Sean Spicer for $200 to do a Valentine's Day message, even though he's a great guy?
Yeah.
I mean, Joe Sebelia will do it for $1 or a massage after yesterday.
Yeah,
I heard about
massage.
That.
Massage.
For free.
But I want the hot stones.
He'll pay you $5 to record
there
something.
There you go. Exactly right. So we'll take requests for Joe. Maybe a little bit later he can, you know, show off his singing chops and you'll see what you get. All right, big 10 o'clock hour. Well, let me quickly go to Connie in Narberth. Connie is on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Connie, good morning.
Hey, Dom. I have a funny story about Mark McGrath when he was playing with his band. We lived in Richmond, Virginia, and my daughter was about 10 years old at the time. She's 27 now. But I had taken her and a bunch of her little friends to see Mark McGrath play at an outdoor venue, and he was late getting on stage, and everybody was waiting and waiting. He's like, where is he? Where is he? And he finally came out on stage, and he got to the microphone, and he was so miserable. He said that his girlfriend had just broken up with him on the phone right then.
Oh, God.
And he gave the worst concert I have ever seen. He was so miserable. But, you know, my daughter and her friends were so happy to see him. They didn't care. It was hilarious. So
well,
it's so funny now that
he's doing celebrity breakups. Yes, he knows what he speaks. Who's your celebrity that should do a Valentine?
Michael
wish?
Bolton. I love Michael Bolton. But you know, I'm over 60, and I've always loved Michael Bolton. And you know, he used to do the K jewelry commercials for Valentine's Day. So
I
would love it if Michael Bolton.
Michael Bolton to do a Valentine. That was a great call.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.